Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Kraken Septic. For this July 8th, 2025, I have your host James here. We're joined by our good friend David Farnborough for Realty Radio. David joins us once a month to talk good real estate and different topics involving the real estate industry. And David, thank you so much for joining us today. Got a good one with us.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be with you again, James. It's nice to be here in the warm weather. Mm-hmm. It's definitely good weather for house hunting.
Yes, I would think so. Especially, this is something that I've always been curious about when it comes to putting a focus on the strategies of home buyers and kind of finding the right home, the right person, some of that. This is an interesting topic to me, and I'm looking forward to diving into this with you. Why is it important to get your realtor involved early, David? Why is that such a key part of this?
Well, a lot of stuff you can do online and you can do yourself. And that is really helpful. It means that we do have more informed consumers than we used to. So that's really good. But sometimes getting involved a little early with your realtor a little earlier can give you some knowledge that can help you save a lot of heartache because, for example, they might help you get things done in the right order. So one of the things people sometimes miss is that you should get your loan pre-approval first. And if you don't have that, then you can be looking for homes that are out of your price range. Or you might actually find out you can borrow more than you thought, and you could be looking at a little more money and maybe a little more house or one that's in the area you really want to live in. So that's one reason. So your realtor can help guide you through the process. A lot of the time people will speak to an experienced older relative who says, well, you know, Uncle John, so they're talking to their uncle, oh, Uncle John, you bought a couple of houses, you're very experienced. And Uncle John says, yep, I bought my house in 1976 and then I bought another one in 1992. Well, really everything has changed since Uncle John bought his house. Mm-hmm. And so you do need someone who keeps up to date, who is hands-on, and also preferably who is a local expert. That is very, very crucial. Real estate is all about the local. And, we find that when we read the news articles about the property market slumping in Texas, and then we say, well, is it slumping here? Actually, no. House prices are going up, the number of house sales are going up, and we still have more home buyers than we have sellers. So it's really important to talk to your realtor sooner rather than later. The other thing that realtors are quite good at is finding homes that may not appear on your searches that you do online. And the reason for that is that sometimes houses are not listed as being in the area that they're actually in. And this is a technical thing. It's because, for example, there's a house in Wisconsin Rapids, and it's listed by an agent that is not in our MLS area. Say they're an agent from Milwaukee. Maybe it's the brother of the homeowner, and they've listed with an out-of-town realtor. Well, that's fine. They can use who they want. But that out-of-town realtor doesn't have the option when they create that listing to state that it's in the Wisconsin Rapids area. They can put the municipality down, but not the area. They're just going to fill that field in with other. So when you're online and you're doing a search on whichever platform it is, it could be Redfin, Zillow, Realtor.com, that house might not come up in your search for a Wisconsin Rapids house. And that can be the same if you're searching in Stevens Point, Port Edwards, Bearon, Rome, Marshfield. If it's an out-of-town realtor, they may not be able to list it in a way that it shows up on searches. The other thing that agents can sometimes do is to help you find a house that maybe is under-photographed. Sometimes you find a home where the photography isn't best. Obviously, none of my listings.
No, none of yours. No.
But you find a house where maybe it's a little dark, it looks a bit gloomy. Maybe the pictures were obviously taken on a flip phone. Mm. And you can't really get a sense of the house, and it doesn't really allow you to build up any enthusiasm. Mm. But I might have taken a buyer on a tour of that house last week, and I might know actually that house is a lot nicer than the photographs appear. So really, that's another very good argument for talking to your realtor early, rather than just sending your realtor all the things you found online and saying, can we go and see them?
And, you know, and I didn't get to do too deep of a dive on this, but in the time that we've been talking and just a little bit of homework I was able to do, I tried to approach this from both sides, and I couldn't see any downside to reaching out to a realtor early. There was no negative to this or anything. It just seemed to be such a plus to do something like this. And, you know, so many of the things you touched on there, along with the unknown, you know, whatever that might be, that gray area that might be.
You're right. And I think people sometimes think, well, realtors are salespeople, and to an extent we are. And they're always going to be phoning me and pressuring me. I make a point of not putting any pressure on my own clients, you know, so I might be a little harder when it comes to negotiating with my clients' sellers or their realtors, but I'm not going to put any pressure on my clients. So if they call me and then they want to take a pause for a couple of months before they start up their search, then I'm not going to be on the phone with them or spamming their email. We are officially licensed real estate salespeople. That's our designation. But I always make a point when I'm representing a buyer, I'm not trying to sell them a house. I am trying to help them find the home that matches what their needs are. Mm-hmm. So yes, it is a sales job, but don't worry. Don't be reticent about contacting me because you think I'm going to be nagging you. Mm. I'm not. I'm here to help you when you need the help.
And as you and I have touched on many times, every industry is like this, but maybe no more than other than the real estate industry is a reputation one. And realtors are going to treat you well. This is about their job. This is about their future jobs and everything. So, you know, coming at this from any other angle other than trying to help you, that tells you right away where realtor stands and what kind of worker, kind of person you're working with. I think that and certainly a familiarity with them, you know, hearing them maybe on a radio talk show or something like that. I don't.
That's right. Yeah, I think that helps. And what I find again, it's the same thing about matching the person with the home. You have to match the person with the realtor. Mm-hmm. So you know, I might show you a house and you might think, oh, I didn't like him. I thought he was too smarmy by half. I'm not going to work with him again. Well, fair enough. You then, you know, call another realtor, but some people do click with me, and you know, they like my humor. We enjoy going on house hunts together, and you know, we become friends even.
It's really good to hear. You know, talking about that, David, and something else you touched on before, a kind of about your approach and the approach that you can take that you know, just like, you know, you are going to see things from a different angle. And you mentioned something in your notes about pattern breaker and thinking like a pattern breaker. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yes. There are trends that homes go through, and you see these a lot, especially. It's especially obvious when you go through a home that was revamped 10 years ago, and you can see that the person's followed everything that was on Pinterest 10 years ago, and maybe now it looks a little bit dated. And then sometimes you go into a home that was, you can see it was the 90s because all the fittings are shiny, faux brass
and a lot of bright neon.
Right, so you do see those things more clearly when we're looking back on the past. But often people who are presenting homes for sale nowadays will present them in the current trends, and that means often we have grey floors. You know, we have that laminate, which is, you know, it often looks really nice, and then you have grey painted walls, or you have shiplap or barn boards everywhere, and you have the sliding barn doors, and then you look up to the light fittings, and they all look like they were made by Tesla,
right,
in 1901.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So you do see these things, and you can sort of see that's been really tailored for today's market. And generally, that is actually a very good thing to do if you're a seller, because those listings will often attract the most attention. They're contemporary, they often feel open and bright, and people will gravitate towards them. Now, if you see a listing as a buyer that's presented like that, then it may well be that there are a lot of other buyers who are attracted to it. You may find yourself competing with other people mm-hmm. and having to pay a little bit more than you wanted to. If you find something that was maybe like what we talked about before, that was revamped 10 years ago, it might be a beautiful home. And of course, you can go in and do what you want with it. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's just a question of buying some paint to paint over the purple and dark red accent walls that they thought were a very good idea in 2005.
Right.
But you might find something that is a gem. Mm. If you just try and break the pattern.
Yeah.
Obviously, important things are the structure of the home, mm-hmm. you know, the roof, the foundations, the windows, the siding, all those things are important, plumbing and electric. Mm-hmm. All those things, you know, really trump seeing modern trends reflected in the house. Mm. But if you do see a home that's maybe a little bit dated, it could be something that enables you to get an advantageous price, and then really what you have to do to update it and to make it yours isn't going to cost that much, and it actually may not be as much as the premium that you'll pay for competing with other buyers.
We're speaking with David Farnborough on Realty Radio right now. And David, one of the things that I, just as somebody from seen TV and movies and things about when it comes to buying a home, one of the more common consistent storylines is, you know, well, buy. You know, we finally found the house. We got to get it. We got to act quickly. Sometimes they get it right. You know, I mean, sometimes it is accurate, and this is one of those things that we do, and, you know, you do need to be ready to pounce on something. You need to be ready to act quickly, but you want to do it smart. You can do both. You can do these things at the same time. You can not overpay necessarily, but act quickly on when you do find a home that you want, and having a good realtor can, be the difference maker in that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and you need to be able to go and see a house straight away. Often, you know, not every home sells quickly, but if you're looking at something that's in the, say, 100 to 200,000 price range in our area, if it's presented well, especially if it meets those modern trends, then you will often find that you're going to get multiple offers coming in. And as a canny buyer, if you can go in and make an offer that is too good to be turned down, then you may get there before all the other offers come in. This can be a way that you can get the advantage. I had a client once who texted me at 2 a.m. and they wanted to see a house at 8 a.m. and because I woke up at 3 a.m. I was able to organize it, got them into the house at 8 a.m. We saw it before anyone else, and we got them an accepted offer before the sellers before they were able to have their open house the next day. Oh, wow. So we managed to get what they wanted because we acted quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, you have to act smart. So if you're buying the house, you have to think, well, is this really the only one for me? Is it the best one, the ideal one? Is it something I want so much that I'm prepared to pay more than my realtor advises me to? And that's always the buyer's prerogative. You know, if they want to pay more than I advise, that's fine, as long as they know they're doing that.
Right.
You know, I don't make the decisions for them. I give them the advice, and then they might say, well, you know, this home is worth a bit more to me because I've got that fenced-in yard I really wanted, and we're so close to the dog park and the river and the schools, and actually my mother lives next door. or maybe my mother lives as far away as possible, right, you know, depending on the individual. But, sometimes you can you might want to pay a premium over and above the market value. But other times you just have to be careful, and you might think, well, this is something I really like, but will another similar home be available to me within the next, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, depending on what your timescale is, of course, that we would be equally happy with, that we may be able to get at a better price.
As we're focusing with you, David, on different strategies for home buyers and the advantages to some of these, you know, kind of piggybacking on what we're talking about right here, I think another important part of this is the different set of eyes and what they can see and what they can bring to the table that, you know, you just can't, or maybe you're too close to, or something like that, as a home buyer, or what you're looking for. And sometimes we get stuck and we can't see the forest through the trees, or we see something and we're like, well, this is it, this is the finished product. But you are able to remind people and able to help people see that, well, you know, once you own this place, this is yours. You can make it your own. You can imagine more renovations to it and some of those things that sometimes as a buyer we're not seeing right away.
That's absolutely right. And it has to be a collaborative process. So, you know, I can go in and I can tell a buyer, well, actually, this house is really good value and it's very solid and you won't be sorry you bought it. But if the buyer doesn't feel like this can be home, it's not going to be their home. And they have to bring their instincts as well as, you know, their own experiences, which are probably different from mine again. When we bring my experiences and expertise and the buyer's experiences and expertise, we can help the buyer make those informed decisions.
It's another advantage of going with a local realtor as well, that they're able to do those things while also incorporating community members, or, oh, I know somebody over here that can help you with that or something too. The connections that, you know, somebody like David already has going into the conversation. That's interesting too, or a nice part of it too.
That's absolutely right. And I work as a team. I actually have a couple of people assisting me in my home marketing at the moment, who actually work as subcontractors for Rapids Homes. But I also have people who I bring in for various other tasks, and they are, you know, people like handymen, glaziers, roofers, electricians, plumbers, and most of these people my clients have used before, and so they know that they are good and respectful and don't charge a huge amount, and I've also used them on my own house and, you know that they're good, you know, good local contractors who'll do an honest job for you. And I think, again, that's one of the advantages of being local. So sometimes I do struggle if I have people who say to me, well, I'd like to buy a house in Sparta, and, you know, I want to know who the contractors are over there. And all I can say is, well, I know someone in Wisconsin Rapids, but I don't know if he'll be prepared to drive over there. So, yeah, locality is a big advantage.
And this all comes back to communication and being clear with your realtor about the priorities, about the things that you want. The more clear and quite honestly blunt you are about these things, the more that David is able to go out there and find that perfect home for you. And really, even I would imagine being able to even save time in some ways of, well, this home, this is not, this hits on these things that they definitely don't want, so I don't have to waste any time showing them this one, but this one in particular. Some of those different variables.
Yes, that's correct. And I think it goes back to the idea that I'm not trying to sell them a house. I'm trying to match them to the house that they want. So I won't be offended if you tell me that you really don't like homes of a certain age. And I've had both things. I've had people say to me, I don't like really old houses. I've had people say, I don't like really new houses. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got my tastes. I know which I prefer, but that's not relevant. What a buyer wants is really important. Mm-hmm. Now, I can take that information and I can help them, but sometimes you see something that actually can be slightly contrary to what a buyer has specified, but you just think maybe they'll like You know, it's got seven out of the six things they want, and sorry, it's got six out of the seven things they want, and maybe they'll be able to put aside the fact that it was built in 1980 and not in the 1960s or before, because everything else is so good about it. So that's where, you know, there's a lot of talk about using computers and computer searches. That's where the human factor can come in, because it enables us to be just a bit more flexible. Yes, we listen carefully, and we try and get the buyer exactly what they want. But sometimes you have to be a little bit flexible and come back to them with something that's maybe a close fit and see whether they want to take that further.
Going back to where we started, David, this is part of the this is something that AI computers can't do. They're not patient. They don't talk out things with you. They don't hear you out. They don't. They're not able to do that. And not only is that helpful, no matter what time in the home buying process you're going into this in, but going back again to the beginning and taking your time with something like this, it's all the more important to when you're finally talking to a realtor and being clear about these things, having an agenda, having an idea of what you want. This may sound silly to some people out there, but I've known at least two different situations of a home buyer going into it, and they were just so excited. They just wanted to own a home. They never owned a home before. They were just excited about that, and they didn't really think about, well, what do I want out of a home? What do I need out of a home?
Yeah.
And if they did think about it, they didn't really think about it in depth. Just, oh, you know what? I want two bathrooms. And then they go in, they're just looking for a house with two bathrooms. Like, there's probably some more specifics there you're going to be looking for and wanting that, you know, David can help you with, that and another set of eyes can help you find.
Yeah, and everybody's different. Some people are very easily pleased, and I put myself into that category when I bought my first house way back in the 1980s. I think I bought the first house I saw, and I just thought, it's a house, I can afford it, I'm going to buy it.
That's how I would have been.
I didn't really care. You know, I didn't care what the wallpaper was like or anything. But some people come to me. I've got a client I'm working with at the moment who is extremely knowledgeable about houses. He's worked as a contractor and as a home designer. He is very, very specific about what he wants. And I know that when I go through the listings for him, I can see immediately if something is going to be a no from him or if it's something that he might consider. So every buyer is different. We have the whole spectrum between don't care, just want a house, and I want all these things on my list.
And David, one last thing that I wanted to go over with you when it comes to the home buying strategies for home buyers. The fact that your ability to be able to watch the market for price drops, mispriced homes, specifically the mispriced homes part, what do you mean necessarily by that?
Well, sometimes you find that, you know, the house pricing process is, again, it's a collaborative process between the agent and the seller. So it's a mistake to think that a seller has mispriced their home or their realtor's mispriced it, because we just don't know what the process has been. I've even known sellers, and these weren't my sellers, I was representing the buyer in this particular circumstance, who said that they had to pay off a certain amount of debt. You know, they owed $190,000, and they could sell the house for no less than $200,000 because once they'd paid the agent's fees, etc., they needed to have enough to pay off the house. Well, it's all very well pricing a house according to your indebtedness, but if a buyer is not willing to pay $200,000, then you're not going to sell it, no matter how much debt you need to pay off.
Yeah.
So the process is collaborative. And I think if I was working with that seller, I might have had a discussion about whether they could talk to their lender and see whether they were willing to accept a short sale, which means you're selling for an amount that doesn't fully pay off the loan. But it is collaborative, and sometimes a seller will want to sell at a lower price. They'll want to list at a lower price, and they may want to do that if they particularly you know, if their personal circumstances mean they want to sell quickly, it might be because they've already bought their other house and they don't want to be paying two home loans, or it might be because they've relocated. So there are all sorts of reasons that someone might price a house a little lower than market value, and there are also, as I just mentioned, reasons for it to be priced higher. Working with a realtor who can advise you on that will help you pitch your offer at the at a price that will get you the result that you want.
David, cannot thank you enough for the information, the time. It's always fun to talk with you and hanging out, and our audience always learns something. If people have follow-up questions, they'd like to know more, reach out to you. How can they do that?
The best way by far is by text, because I usually get back to my text within a couple of minutes. You know, I can be on the phone, I can text someone back, or I can be, maybe not doing a radio show, but, it's so easy. And like I said, people text me 24 hours, and I encourage that because I don't have to answer if I'm asleep or not available or driving. So text is 715-323-8594. That's also my phone number, and I will call people back usually pretty soon after they've left a message if I don't answer the phone straight away. And they can also find me on Facebook, David Farnborough Realtor, pretty easy to find. And I love connecting with people, so just reach out and say hello and say you heard me on the radio show, and that you'd like to connect in case you maybe want to buy a house in the future.
Appreciate you, David. We'll talk again next month. You have a good one. Take care. And appreciate all of you out there for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic here at WFHR.com.